let's do that hockey.
Well, it can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, and I am joined by Jeeker and Anthony, the backup. Welcome back, boys. Anthony, how's it going over there?
Fantastic. Just living that dad life, waiting for hockey to come back. But super pumped to be here with you boys tonight. It's been a little minute. Return of the pod. That's what this is.
Return of the pod. It's like a Star Wars movie here. Let's hope it's not like the recent Star Wars movies.
That's what I was going for, pal. Way to be on the nose about it.
So before I send it back over to Jeeker, Anthony, you are the Jeeker. Do you like Star Wars? I'll just ask you there. Are you a Star Wars guy?
I've never watched a minute of any of the movies.
Okay, good. So I can ask this question to Anthony here. Anthony, are the new movies good or like compared to everything else?
I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but I don't think they're as bad as everyone makes them seem.
Okay, so our return...
They're nowhere near... The original three movies that they made, episodes 4, 5, and 6, were epic.
Got it.
They were ahead of its time, classics, but the new ones love forever. Good. The new ones didn't meet expectations, and people hit it hard because of that.
Got it.
But honestly, it's just cool that we got more Star Wars, and they told more stories, and they're continuing to build, and I love it all. I'm not a snob. I like it all. I love The Mandalorian. There's several side stories and books that are great.
All right.
There's a lot in the Star Wars universe.
The whole Star Wars shtick here, buddy. I'm just trying to compare our return to the Star Wars movies here. And I thought the new ones were bad, but it's exactly like the new Star Wars movies. It's good, but it's not going to be like what it was before, but it's still going to be great. Jeeker, how's it going?
Yeah, like any return.
What? Good. Chilling with the roommate. He's sitting up here for the people that could see the YouTube video. He's hanging out with me.
That's a good
one. No, doing good, working hard. Softball season's officially over.
What was the final record?
Not great. Team MVP, though.
Not a boy.
Team MVP, yep. Yeah. It's nice to just relax a bit. It's. I was talking to my dad the other day. You get home from playing hockey, and you don't really – you're not used to having all the – or you're used to having so much free time, so I just filled my weeks and my days up, and now I'm excited to actually be having some free time here. But so coaching record, 3-2 coaching record, though.
There you go.
Above 500. There it is.
I got second place in the ACHA division that didn't exist. So, so you and I are going to have a little coaching battle here, see who can have the better coaching life. But I'm glad that you brought up the fact that you're the MVP on a losing team, because that reminds me a lot of Connor McDavid. And Connor McDavid is in the draft that we're doing later on tonight in the 2015 NHL redraft that will be happening.
Hey, no spoilers. No one knows he's going to be in the draft. He may go undrafted.
Hey,
you never know.
Spoiler alert. I have the first pick, and another, this is not a spoiler. This is a promise. Connor McDavid will be the first overall pick.
Well, it's your mistake, buddy. Your funeral.
We'll see. We've got 2015 NHL redraft coming up as our main event. We've also got start, sits, call-ups, and we have news and notes from around the league. But first, before we even get into the news and notes from around the league, we have a quick question of the day. And that quick question of the day is, which would you rather? Would you rather the first overall pick? Would you rather land the first overall pick in the offseason, or would you rather land the top free agent signing? Jeeker, well, send it to you.
Hold on. Before we get into that, let's be more specific, because that can be kind of vague. Let's take this year into account. So this year, would you rather Taylor Hall, or would you rather have Alexis Lafreniere?
See, Anthony, I didn't want to go that route because I think that's an easy answer. But
I think there's going to be disagreements, because I know Vinny and I already disagree on it.
You're both wrong. So
there's two answers here.
Taylor Hall is not the big fish on the pond.
Alex Petrangelo was a big fish on the pond.
Alex Petrangelo. So? And I'd take Alex Petrangelo over Alexei Lafreniere 10 times out of 10.
Okay. All right.
Would I have signed him to a 7-year deal? No. But would I take him on a 4-year deal in his prime? Hell yeah. Guy's incredible. He does it all. He power play, penalty kill, 30 minutes a night, captain your team.
Wait, I'm not talking about in his prime. I'm talking about this year. Would you rather?
This is his prime. He's 30 years old.
Okay. All right. Fair.
He's coming off a cup win. Dude, I'd take Petrangelo 10 times out of 10. As much as I have to say, like, I'm sure Lafreniere is going to be good and the Rangers are going to love him. But You've seen it too many times. Jack Hughes, kind of a bust. Neil Yakupov, certainly a bust. Nico Hischier's not a bust, but Nico Hischier's not a game changer. So like,
who was the first person you said?
Jack Hughes.
Did you say Jack Hughes?
Yeah.
Jack Hughes doesn't even play. How can you say he's a bust?
I never said he's a bust. I said he could be a bust.
But you mentioned him in a list of people who are like just big.
Let's say this. He didn't light the league up in his rookie season. He didn't have an epic.
I personally don't think he should have played last year, but they're going to ruin him. I will bet money that he will be a bust.
I am not going to take that bet because I also think that. But either way,
shut your mouth.
I think my opinion still stays the same here, where I would take Lafreniere over Alex Pietrangelo over a Taylor Hall, because I think the ceiling for Alex Lafreniere, and I know this is going to really, really grind your gears, Jeeker. I know it. I'm very Alex Lafreniere's ceiling is Sidney Crosby. Whether you like it or not, his ceiling, see the head shake's already there. His ceiling is Sidney Crosby, whether you like it or not.
I don't know. I want him to be as good as anyone else, buddy, but I don't know if Crosby's the ceiling, man.
That's scouting report.
That's a lot.
You look at everyone who scouted him. He is supposed to, quote, I'm not saying he is. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying he is going to be the next Sidney Crosby, but the potential is the next Sidney Crosby. I would rather take my shot on getting the next Sidney Crosby over signing someone in their 30s that you are paying top dollar for. You're paying top dollar. And think about this. The money that you're spending on a guy like Pietrangelo, and I don't want to bring up Taylor Hall because they gave him a very friendly deal. It's just a one-year deal. They're not locked down to him. But Pietrangelo, you gave him a lot of money, a seven-year deal, and that's what happens when you pay a top free agent. You give them a lot of money. You give them a lot of years. At the end of that deal, you're like trying to get out of it. You're trying to get out of it. Alex Lafreniere, you're not trying to get out of Alex Lafreniere.
The question wasn't, would you give him the same contract they gave him? You said, what would you rather do?
But that's what I'm saying. It goes.
So I'd rather give Pietrangelo a three-year deal.
But that's the thing. You're not giving a top free agent a three-year deal. That's just not a thing.
The argument here is, are you going to take your chance on your future, or are you trying to win now?
Both
Pietrangelo and Hall are win now moves, whereas Laffy is, we're building our team for the future. So it's really, which one of those do you believe in? Do you believe in that rebuild on the fly method where get as many pieces as you can, as quickly as you can, and let's go for a cup? Or do you believe in, let's gather our picks, let's see what we can grow from home, and let's make a run in a few years? That's how this breaks down.
But that's the thing though. At that point, it's team dependent. But when you look at it on the surface, which
I don't think it's team dependent. I think it's philosophy dependent.
I think it's team dependent because you look at the team like the Rangers last year.
Well, you could look specific at the Rangers. I'm saying it's a philosophy.
But
I don't think it's team dependent.
But you look at the guys like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's win now. Okay. Pittsburgh is a win now team. They've got a lot of aging players and they're in win now because
they already won.
Well, so. That's where I'm going with this. It's not team related. Cause if you're Pittsburgh, you're smart to take either one.
True.
Yeah. But
you're smart to take Pietrangelo to go try to win three more cups. At the same time you take Lafreniere and get the kid. If he turns out to be a stud on a $925,000 contract, who's going to be
another 15
the next
years
Sidney Crosby for 10 years. So it's not, it's all based upon, like you said, Anthony, it's all philosophy.
Yeah.
I still think you have to consider all the things that are attached with both players that you're getting here. You're getting a entry level contract, a team friendly deal with your first overall pick, as opposed to someone who you're going to have to lock down for a lot of years and a lot of money. You're going to be tied down because of that. So I'm choosing the guy that I know is going to have the ceiling, the potential of a Sidney Crosby. And I don't have to pay that much money to where I can bring in other pieces. Is that good enough for you? Is that good enough for you, Anthony, with your quick question of the day?
Yeah, no, I think that was pretty well spoken, boys. Perfect. I think we all covered everything, gave both sides of the argument there. Let the people decide who's right. Maybe we'll put up a poll.
Yeah, maybe we'll put up a poll. But speaking of free agent signings, though, of Alex Pietrangelo to the Vegas Golden Knights, Taylor Hall to the Buffalo Sabres. We have our news and notes from around the league. Anthony, what do you have for us? What's been happening?
All right, so our news and notes here, it's been about a month since we've gotten together, so I really just wanted to gather the news and notes from kind of the past week, seeing what people, you know, may have missed this past week because they've had plenty of time for everything else. Let's get into some signings here. Dallas inks Rupe Hintz to a 3-year, 9.45 extension. And then Florida has inked Mackenzie Weegar to a 3-year, 9.75 extension. Similar deals there. In New York Rangers news, they re-signed Brendan Lemieux, our resident rat. So I'm happy about that. 2 years, 3.1 extension. Some sad news. We had a few legends pass away this past week. Howie Meeker, who is a player for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the 40s and 50s. He won the Calder Trophy, and he won the Stanley Cup with them in the 50s. He passed away at 97. Wow, what a run. Also, sadly, Alex Trebek lost his battle with cancer. And then Joey Moss, the trainer for the Edmonton Oilers, also sadly passed away unexpectedly. Our condolences and our hearts go out to all those families affected.
Definitely. And that Alex Trebek one, that one hits home a little bit, just because the whole Jeopardy. We watched Jeopardy a lot as kids. So it was like, man, that's like a childhood hero basically for us that passed away. Jeeker, were you a big Jeopardy guy?
No, I watched it as a kid, but in the last couple of years, I picked it back up. Me and Cookie, my roommate, would watch it pretty much every night, in North Carolina. So yeah, that one hurt. That one hurts, man. That's it's something that's weird where like it's kind of hard to describe. Like, it's not someone, I mean, for me at least, it's not someone like I looked up to. Like, he wasn't like an athlete or anything like that where you're like idolizing him, but it's just like, it's Alex Trebek.
It's just someone that's been in your life for so long.
Yeah. Like, there's no other, like, I can't think of any other person where I'm like, oh, like it's this. Like, if like musicians die, I'm sad. Hockey players die, I'm sad. Like, things like that. But it's like, that's Alex Trebek, man. Like, there's no other way to describe it. So
yeah, it's,
that one hurts.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, 7 o'clock Wheel of Fortune, 7:30 Jeopardy. That was our life. I mean, it's definitely tough, and we mourn the losses of a lot of great people passed away.
He was a legend on the ice too. He played in Celebrity All-Star games, a few of them. He was awesome.
It was nice.
He announced one of Ottawa's draft picks a few years ago. Big hockey guy, too.
That was last year. That was this year. That was really cool that he got to do that. Yeah.
Awesome. Super awesome.
Yeah. So it's a lot of tough losses for everyone, and we hope everyone involved, related, and involved with those people who we've lost are okay. We send our condolences. But it is now time to move on. And we move on to the return of the starts, the sits, and the call-ups. Jeeker, we're going to you first.
Oh, yeah.
What do we have on tap for starts, sits, call-ups?
All right, I'll be nice since we haven't done this in a while, and I'll go in order.
What a nice guy.
I'm gonna do this. I picked this one just to piss you guys off.
Oh, boy.
My start is Henrik Lundqvist's new pads with the Washington Capitals.
They're so
they
cool,
are
though.
So nasty.
They're so cool. The stars on the – I love them.
Dude, honestly – you're not pissing anyone off here with any talk.
I think I love, man. I don't know a ton about Hank either. Like, yeah, I've seen him play and like handsome bastard, but like,
absolutely.
I just think it's cool. I think it's cool. Him and Marc-Andre Fleury and more in particular, like you see these guys now that are kind of turning into like backups or like guys like Brent Seabrook who are kind of in and out of the lineup and you know, they're not living up to their contracts and stuff at the end of their careers. And it's just really cool for me to see guys like Lundqvist and Fleury that are, you know, they kind of understand their role, but they're still like the same old guy. Like Hank's like, nothing to worry about here, boys. Like, I'm still going to work hard.
Yep. I still got
and
this then, hair.
I mean, and, but those are super, super, super yeah. cool, man. So yeah.
Capital building. Just.
Yeah, no, those are clean.
Great start, Jaker.
My sit is probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
I like where this is going.
And it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the rumor that they're
right
thinking about the rumor that they're starting to dabble with a new system, the 2-3, where it's two forwards and three defensemen on the ice together.
Oh, I heard.
I saw that.
That might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. Not only for hockey, because nothing's changed in hockey in the last 100 years in the NHL. It's always been 3-4, two defensemen. That's how the game was created. But not only that, it's the Toronto fucking Maple Leafs who can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. And if that's their big thing, we're like, hey, boys, we're going to throw three defensemen on the ice. Dude, they are so beyond screwed, especially because I watch every once in a while on YouTube the TSN clips. I forget who's all on the panel. But they're like, if they're going to do this, they're going to have to play eight or nine defensemen. Okay. They can barely fit six defensemen in their lineup that are any good.
That's my thing with this.
They don't have the defensemen.
They don't have six defensemen. Why are they going to get nine?
Toronto's problem now is defense. But hey, let's put more defensemen that we don't have.
Yeah, and then they just signed their fourth lines, like Spezza, Thornton, Timoshov. Like they just signed all these guys for the fourth line. So what are they just not going to play?
So I have a question here. This may be a really stupid question here, but you do two forwards and three defensemen. What if you did four forwards and one defenseman in Toronto's case?
They
lose. That's not as bad.
Try to win games 50 to 49. You know, like
they're screwed either way. They need a general manager who's not a dope and signing these loser freaking kids to like $200 million contracts.
And that Marner deal is looking worse and worse, man. And I was a fan of it.
Since day one, he's the most overrated player on that team.
I was a fan of it at first. I really liked him. And it's not, that take has not aged well, and I'll take responsibility for that.
And I think it goes a lot further than his contract. There's all the bullshit that happened whenever his dad was in the media about he should be the captain. Like, no offense to him and his dad, but no offense to the old man, but if the old man was in the Fayetteville media telling everyone I should be the captain, I would have kicked him in the ass.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look at Toronto. I mean, that organization is so beyond screwed. I don't think there's a chance besides them trading Matthews and Marner.
Well, I was just about to ask. I saw someone, shout out to Hockey Illuminati that I follow on Instagram. He posted a video of him talking about just an outrageous trade that, if you think about it, could make sense. You're the Chicago Blackhawks. You trade Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews to Toronto for Mitch Marner, and I think it was their top prospect or one of their top young players other than like Matthews and Marner, and
can't you, work too much money.
Would you do that though?
The hell no.
Would you
It'd be a wild deal. It'd be wild.
No.
It'd be a lot.
You know what would be a very good deal for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Would be trading Austin Matthews to Arizona for Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yes.
But that's not gonna happen.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far with maybe trade Mitch Marner for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Yes.
I'm just saying if you get draft picks back, sure.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is,
I'd say Matthews and Ekman-Larsson for a first overall and a first round pick, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah. 100%. So where are you going for your call up? Yeah. It's call up now.
Call up.
This would hit a little close to home. I'm going to call up Tyler Seguin. He's got a lot of shit in the media ever since he got to Dallas, even when he was in Boston still. But, more recently with the bullshit with the owner and things like that in Dallas and, you know, them not going as far as they should and yada, yada. But, I mean, they got to the cup final. They got to game six. I don't even remember. It's been game so six. Long. But, I mean, you look at what the kid played through. He had a torn labrum in his hip and, groin, and I think it was like a groin and a shoulder or something like that. I can't remember what exactly it was, but I've played through injuries, and you guys know when I was in Jacksonville playing through the leg and stuff, but it's just one of those things every year where it's like, okay, like you see like Bergeron playing through all that stuff in 2011, I think it was. And I give the kid credit, man. Like, he might be kind of a booze bag and a party kid like that, which, I mean, to each his own. I don't care. Like, I've played with plenty of them, but you can never doubt the kid and say that the kid doesn't work and the kid doesn't try. And I mean, he had a pretty good playoff given the circumstances. So I give all the props to that kid. I mean, he's carved himself out a hell of a career, but I think he still works his bag off.
Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a special talent, man. Another man rocket, though, by the way.
I honestly think that, like, now that everyone's up on Alexander Barkov, I truly believe that Tyler Seguin is one of the most underrated players in the NHL.
I love Seguin. I've loved
him. I think he's really good. He doesn't get a lot of credit. He doesn't get a lot of credit in Dallas. He doesn't get a lot of media attention now that he's in Dallas, but he's going to put you 65 to 85, 90 points a year. Like, I think you play on a team like Toronto or Pittsburgh or something like that, and
he's a superstar in the
league. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Anthony's turn now. That was Jeager starts its call-ups. Anthony, the backup. What's up, buddy? What do you got? Starts its call-ups. I shouldn't say that. Where are you going first here is what I should say.
Well, let me go ahead and preface this by saying Jeager had a very deep, well-thought-out start-sit call-up. Mine is like I feel like a 10-year-old right now. But let's get into it. Let's go ahead and begin with my call-up. I'm calling up Max Domi, looking great in those new CBJ threads. He looked great in the jersey. I think he's going to have a hell of a – you know I'm a huge Max Domi guy. I got his Canadiens shirt. I'm going to have to get a CBJ Domi shirt. He looked great. I'm excited to see him put up another 20-goal season. 20 tucks Max Domi is making his return in 2021. You can mark it down right now.
Mark it down.
I'm going to go to my start because I'm actually really excited about this. I was thinking today, like, what am I going to start? Not a lot's going on right now. But you know what is going on? You guys can call me crazy. And it was not the first time, won't be the last. The Buffalo Sabres. They're making moves. They signed Hall, like I mentioned earlier. And Jack Eichel is becoming a great pro.
And
they got Dahlin. They got
– And?
Who else do they have? That Victor Olofsson kid, right?
And?
Sniper.
And
Dustin Tokarski.
And
I don't know who else.
Your boy, Zemgus Girgensson, you asshole.
Oh, my boy. How could I leave him out? The leader of the Buffalo Sabres, Zemgus Girgensson.
First overall pick, Zemgus Girgensson.
I'm my man. Yeah, so I'm gonna start them right now, and I'm gonna tell everyone they're going to the playoffs in 2021. Going to the playoffs. They might get knocked out in round one, but they're going to the playoffs. They're squeaking in. You heard
it. I think you missed one of the most underrated pieces on that team, though.
Who did I miss? Skinner.
Oh yeah.
They got Skinner. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They have a good group of guys who are young, but they have experience. They're hitting their prime. Eichel's hitting his prime.
I think another underrated player on that team would be Brandon Montour.
Yeah. I don't know much about Montour. I don't know much.
So I did my research a little bit on Montour. He's kind of like me and he's an offensive defenseman. I missed him by half a year at school. So everywhere he's played but the NHL, he's been just about a point a game as a defenseman. I missed him. He played at UMass Amherst the second half of my senior year. First half, he's in the USHL. And like, it's like 30 games, 30 points, USHL. Came to college for half a year, 25 games, 30 points. Went to the AHL. He had 47 points in 50 games. Like, a kid just tore it up. He got himself a nice deal, and I think he found a nice little home there in Buffalo. And I think he's a good top four defenseman. I really like the kid.
For sure. A guy like that has a great season. You're definitely going to see them in the playoffs. For 100%. Sure.
What's for next, sure. Anthony?
Let's end on a sad note here. I'm sitting those Dallas glow-in-the-dark jerseys. What is that?
Yeah, those are
terrible. They look so stupid.
Those are a little rough.
It looks
A guy I work with sent me that post.
A war hockey jersey is terrible.
A guy I work with sent me that post on Instagram like one day during work, and he was like, bro, like, how sick are these? And I'm like, honestly, don't like them at all.
I
felt bad, but I was like, nah, do these things.
I think they're very simple, which I usually like, but they just don't. They're just very blah, and the glow in the dark thing is just very, like, it's reaching.
So that actually kind of that kind of is a perfect segue to my starts its call ups, and I don't hate the Stars jerseys that much. I don't like them. I don't hate them. They're just there, but
they're not good jerseys. They're not bad jerseys.
They're just jerseys. But what I will say, and this is, like I said, a perfect segue to my starts, its call-ups. I'm starting the reverse jerseys the reverse retro jerseys that Adidas are coming out with. Every team.
I've seen a few of them. I saw the Boston one.
Yeah, really cool. They've released some of them so far. The Boston one is really cool. The leaked Boston one's really cool. But I'm not calling up these jerseys because of the design, and this is why I would like to talk about your neon jerseys.
I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
I love that the NHL is trying new things to branch out and get the game and expose the game and try and build a brand for themselves with casual fans. This is a great way to grow the game of hockey by doing these things. One of the biggest things I always say about the NHL is that they need to showcase the personalities and the characters and the good things about hockey, and jerseys are one of them. Style is a big part of the NHL, and showcasing that through these reverse retro jerseys, people see that they look different. That's going to draw people in. The hardcore fans are going to be like, oh, these are retro jerseys. Like the Rangers are probably going to have Lady Liberty on there, and that's going to hit with a lot of hardcore fans.
I will buy if they come back out with the Liberty jersey, that day.
And the colors and how different they look is going to attract attention from the casual market. Yeah. So
the Rangers have already worn the white Liberty jersey, so I don't know how they're going to reverse
it. It's going to be navy. It's going to be a navy jersey from what I hear. But
yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be down with that.
But either way, though, I love this idea from the NHL that they have done something different here to try and bring in more casual fans. So whether you like it or not, I love it.
I don't mean to be a buzzkill with it because I do really like it. But it scares me that they are doing it because I'm going to put money out there that they're doing it as another revenue stream because there's not going to be as many games or as many fans and things like that. And that's what I hear is the reason that they're doing it more so than the growing the game, which I see the purpose of that, but it does scare me a bit that like they have to go to the lengths of all this marketing and stuff.
That does make a lot of sense. That would definitely
rings true.
That would definitely give me a little bit of worries, but we hope for the best. And either way, no matter how many games there are this season, I like this idea and I hope to see the NHL even when a full season is now, whenever the next full season comes, I hope they continue to do ideas like this. And I hope that these jerseys are a huge hit so that they have the motivation to do things like this. I'm moving on to my sit, and Anthony and I, you, myself and Dad had a conversation about this. I'm sitting the OHL banning checking from their season to help prevent the COVID virus from spreading. I'm banning this because it's absolutely absurd to ban checking from hockey to start. That's my first statement. Second, this banning checking from a junior level here is hurting the growth of these players. They're going to have to learn a completely different system for this season to prevent checking and taking penalties for checking. They're going to have to learn a completely different system. It's setting them back a peg from what everyone else is doing. The NCAA is not banning checking. The WHL is not banning checking. I don't know if the Q is playing right now.
It's not going to happen.
The Q is playing right now.
Okay. So they haven't banned checking either. So it is setting the OHL back if they go through with banning checking from the games. I don't like it at all.
They won't do it. There's literally no possible way they could do it. It's either going to be one of two things. They're going to agree to have checking or they're not going to have a season for three reasons. The first one is you're never going to be able to control these kids. They're so used to playing that way that it's just going to happen. The second reason is the NHL scouts aren't going to want to watch it. I read an article that said something like, what about a kid who has the skill of Connor McDavid but is a pussy and he doesn't have to worry about getting hit? He's going to have a million points and he gets to the NHL and gets hit and he's screwed. That's not going to happen. And then the third way is the kids. I mean, would you want to play if there was no hitting? I barely want to play beer league because there's no contact.
Yeah.
As much as it is kind of absurd, I can't see there being a way that it actually happens.
Anthony, rebuttal. I know you were on you're on Dad's side here, and
I'm more in the middle. I'm just not on your side, which makes you think that I'm just against you. I'm not against you. You made some good points for sure. I don't think it's as dramatic as you guys are making it seem. I think it's maybe just one season. I don't think it's going to ruin anyone's career. And there's going to
be – it is.
They can ban checking, but we don't know to the extent of how they're going to do it, because we all watch, you know, women's hockey from time to time, especially in the Olympics. There's technically no checking in women's hockey, but it still can get physical. The games are still very exciting.
But here's the thing, Anthony.
I think players – now, you mentioned this earlier, Vinny. I think players will pick up bad habits. That's something that will happen, not picking your head up, not looking where you're – not taking the suicide pass into account. But I think it's just one season. I think if I'm a young player getting drafted to the OHL, and I think I'd rather play –
yeah, I definitely think that these kids should definitely play no matter what.
I don't because these kids have all played, you know, their entire lives. I don't think you're going to ruin a kid's entire career in one season. I think it's not ideal, but I think you're being a little overdramatic about the extent of damage that it's going to do. I think it's just going to be one season that's not ideal. And after that, it'll be okay for these kids.
I never said it was going to ruin their careers. I said it would set them back, and it is, because all these other kids at the same level are playing checking hockey, and they're not stopping their development. This
is not going to ruin these
kids' careers. It 1,000% can ruin these kids' careers. You think an NHL scout and an NHL GM is going to take a kid from the OHL who hasn't had hitting in a year that put up 100 points, but if you look at the kid in the Western Hockey League who put up 85 points but has been getting bullied for the last year, they're going to take the kid. It's going to set the kids back. They're not going to get drafted as high. And to be completely honest with you, it is going to just probably ruin their careers, because
it could definitely ruin some.
Yeah, I think it will.
Anthony,
it'll muddy stuff up. I think you guys are a little over the top about the long-term consequences.
To your point too, also, you brought up the women's hockey and the Olympics and everything like that. And it's still, yes, you're right. Women's hockey is very fun to watch, even without checking, and it's great for them, but they've prepared their entire careers for that. These kids have been trying to prepare for the next level, and the next level has checking. So this is setting it back. It's my sit. I'm moving on to my call up here. I'm calling up the NHL here. Jacob, did you have one last?
My last statement was going to be, it's never going to work, because the kids. Yeah, I was never a violent player, but I have a switch, and if someone pisses me off, I'll dummy them. It's not going to work. Like you said, the girls are used to it. The guys are so used to playing like to a certain level. It's just never going to happen. There's two refs or three refs or four refs or whatever it is on the ice. There's no possible way they could stop hitting. It just won't happen.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see whether they can go through with it or not. But I'm moving on now, wrapping it up with my call up. I am calling up the EA Sports NHL games. We are very used to shitting on them, and they have deserved a lot of shame in the past few years. But I'm calling them up now because the NHL franchise have released NHL, EA Sports NHL, 21? That's where we're at right now, 21. And the game actually isn't complete dog shit. And it is such a surprise. It is such a pleasant surprise that this game doesn't absolutely suck. They revamped a lot of modes that people have been asking for. Be a pro mode is absolutely phenomenal this year. Job well done, EA Sports. You guys deserve a lot of credit here. We've been dogging you for 2-3 years now at least, and you deserve the credit here. I'm calling up the EA Sports franchise. I know neither of you have probably played the game. Am I correct?
No, man. I got this kid, man. All I got time is for nothing. I barely had time to do this tonight.
You guys are monsters. You guys are both monsters. Yeah. That does it for Start Sits call-ups. I'm calling up Chell as my call-up. Now we move on to the – wait, do you have a setup of the week? I was about to say we're moving on to the main event, but
we can collapse the setup of the week, because I really want to do this. I'm pumped on this draft. Let's get into the draft.
Let's make this draft happen. If you have a setup of the week, post it on the Twitter.
Yeah, I'll post a little setup on the Twitter.
There you go.
I have been banking it for a month. So
time for the 2015 NHL redraft, and I am on the clock. Just to remind everyone, we are picking 3 forwards, 2 defensemen, and 1 goalie from the 2015 NHL draft. And I had a proposal for you, gentlemen.
Oh boy!
I wanted to see if we can make this a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
These players are all listed as centers, wingers, and defensemen. And I think it will be more difficult to make sure that we are drafting one center, two wingers, two defensemen, and one goaltender. Because normally our drafts, we just pick three forwards.
Wait.
Two defensemen.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What did you say?
I'm proposing a new way of doing this here.
Yes, I heard that part. More challenging. Get to the chase here, buddy.
Instead of drafting three forwards and two defensemen, we draft one center, two wingers, two defensemen, and one goalie, just like an NHL starting lineup.
So only one center, basically.
Only one center. You cannot draft.
Can I interchange wings, though?
You can interchange. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, the wingers are not.
Two left wings or two right wings, yeah.
Yeah, you can two left wingers, two right wingers. That's fine. But you cannot, once you have drafted a center, you cannot draft another center. Are you guys okay with this challenge? Are you guys, everyone?
Yeah, that works. That
I
works.
Told you, I already got my team picked.
Even with the centers, wingers thing?
Yes. Jake is on board. I'm on board. Let's go.
Let's make it happen. So we're drafting one center, two wingers, two defense, one goaltender. I am on the clock. And with the first overall pick, with the first overall pick, honestly, this was you guys kind of rattled me here by like talking about how great this draft was and how there's other players other than Connor McDavid. And I'm like, really, I'm rattled. I'm like, maybe I don't take Connor McDavid because the defensemen are really like defensemen are thin in this draft here.
Whatever you can do, just pick it, dude.
But the first overall pick, I am proud to select Connor McDavid.
Congratulations.
Anthony is on the clock.
I'm going Jack Eichel with the 102.
Jaeger, you have back-to-back pick. There's no conversation here yet. There's no conversation. Connor McDavid's first. Jack Eichel second. You have back-to-back picks here, Jaeger. What are you going with?
Goalie market's thin. I'm taking Ilya Samsonov first pick.
Wow. I haven't even looked at goalies yet, to be honest.
Yeah, I did my research. Second overall pick will be a center, and it'll be Matthew Barzal.
That is a great. That was my other person. I was like, man, maybe should I pick Barzal? I mean, he's a stud.
I told you, I have my team, and it's going to be the best one. Close.
I don't know, man. I really just – I don't know.
We'll see.
We will see. Anthony, you are now on the clock. What's it going to be?
I'm going with D-man Zach Werenski.
Wow. Zach Werenski in this. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Like I said, I think the defensemen are thin here. I don't think that it's –
Oh, no, they're not.
I think it is. I think defensemen are thin. Jeeker, you've already taken a goalie, though. Anthony, you've taken a winger here, or you've taken a defenseman here. So I feel like I should go back-to-back wingers and lock up the winger market here is where I'm leaning here. And with my first back-to-back pick, I am taking Brock Besser. I'm taking my boy Brock Besser, North Dakota product Brock Besser. And I'm also taking, and we were talking about him before, I am taking Mitch Marner to set everybody up here to make plays. I'm taking Mitch Marner. Anthony, you're on. Oh, shit. I shouldn't have picked him. I had someone else I wanted to pick. It's already locked in. Okay. All right. Anthony, you are now on the clock.
Too bad. I'm going to go with Sebastian Aho.
You cannot do that.
Why?
Sebastian Aho is a center.
You took Eichel. That's right.
You took Eichel, and Sebastian Aho is a center.
He's listed as a left wing on here.
On HockeyDB, he is listed as a center. Let's solve this here. Now we have our first controversy.
He's a center.
Okay. All right. No big deal. Everyone calm down. Calm down.
I'm calm. We're calm here.
Yes. Yeah, I will
listed as a center on Daily Faceoff. There you go.
Got you. No big deal. On the fly. I'm gonna make a change here. We're going to go with
the winger market is thin as well.
Thin.
A lot of centers in this draft. A lot of great centers in this draft.
There are a lot of great centers. I keep on wanting to pick guys who are fucking centers.
Yeah. This is tough. This is what I wanted.
Wait, did someone grab Rantanen already?
Nope.
I'm grabbing Rantanen.
There is that. That's a good pick here. That's a good pick. So who's you taking? You have Werenski. You have Rantanen and you have Eichel as your
Eichel,
team.
Yep.
Jeeker, you are on the clock. Remind everybody who's on your team already, if you can.
Yeah, my goaltender is Ilya Samsonov, and my center is Matthew Barzal. I have back-to-back picks, correct?
Yes, you do.
My first winger is going to be Kyle Connor from the Winnipeg Jets.
Nick, underrated player right there.
35 goal scorer 2 years ago. Extremely solid. Underrated. And then I will take my first defenseman.
Don't take him.
And my first defenseman is Thomas Chabot.
Yeah, damn it. That's who I wanted. That's who, after I picked Mitch Marner as my pick, I was like, damn it, I should have taken Chabot. He is the best defenseman in this draft.
That's not true at all, but
it is true. It is 100% true. And now Anthony is back on the clock here. Jeeker, you have remind everyone again.
I have a center, a winger, a defenseman, and a goalie.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Anthony, you are now on the clock. And he's tilting already. You're on mute. You're so tilted. You're still on mute.
We get two defensemen, right?
Yes, that's what you put. We're not the Toronto Maple Leafs. You do not.
I'm gonna go Vince Dunn.
Oof, ugly pick. Mm-hmm. Ugly.
I have so many good defensemen locked up next. Oh, this defense draft is not
ugly,
thin.
Ugly pick. Now I am on the clock here.
Stanley Cup champion, maybe.
He is Stanley Cup champion. I am on the clock here, and I have my forwards locked up. I have Connor McDavid, I have Mitch Marner, and I have Brock Besser. I am going down the defensive path here with my back-to-back picks. I am selecting Noah Hanifin as my first pick in this draft. Boston University product. Wait,
that's not true. He's my defense partner my junior year.
Boston College. Just had a little brain fart here, okay? Noah Hanifin, I am taking him with my first pick in the second round with my last pick in the second round and my first pick in round three, I am selecting my other defenseman and I am selecting Ivan Provorov. I think he is an underrated player as well. I don't think he gets enough credit in Philadelphia. He's a great player along with Shane Gostisbehere, who's not in this draft, but Ivan Provorov and Noah Hanifin are on the winning squad. Anthony, you're back on the clock. Let's go full tilt.
Goalies really are thin right now.
They're terrible.
I'm kind of tilting right now. And the only one of the few goalies that I've actually seen play in this draft and am confident that they could get some NHL wins, Aiden Hill. He plays for Arizona when they had both their starting goalies go down and he came in. He actually played, Vinny, you might remember, when we went to see the Rangers, they played Arizona. And Aiden Hill was the goalie for Arizona, and they beat us in the shootout. Yep. And he was stellar that game. Hey, not a big name, but again, it's kind of thin here. I may have missed it. I don't think I missed any big.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
No.
I'm not gonna say it.
I still have to pick my goaltender here, but
yeah,
now the speaker will be on the clock. Before you go into it, I want to discuss some of these goalies here. There's a lot of ECHL goalies here, Anthony. There's a lot
Dan
of goalies.
Blader, I saw Dan Blader. I saw Callum Booth. I didn't want any of them.
We've seen a lot of
no offense to them, but I wanted Aiden Hill. I've seen play in the NHL.
Yeah, we have a lot of goalies, including Arizona State netminder Joey DeCord. Also,
Joey DeCord. Yeah.
But
out of all those, I'd still go Adam Huska's in this too. I'd still go Aiden Hill.
Jeeker, you are now on the clock for your final two picks.
All right. I'll take my winger. And it was a toss-up. You guys took my pick, which was Rantanen. But I am going to go with Travis Konecny from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Good pick. It's a good pick.
It was between him and Timo Meier from the San Jose Sharks. I think Konecny's a little bit more gritty. I think we got some goal scorers in my lineup. Underrated pick as a defenseman that no one's going to see coming
from
the Pittsburgh Penguins, John Marino.
Oh, your boy, dude. Your boy.
Right, that's there. A terrible pick.
That's a great pick.
It's a terrible pick. You know, it was really tough. I really wanted Troy Terry in this draft. I love Troy Terry. Big Troy Terry guy. But
I'm sure you are.
There's already so many people that we've missed too. I already have looked.
There's a lot of good names in this draft, man. There's a lot of good names in this draft. Anthony, you're now on the clock for your final pick, and you have one defenseman left or one winger?
I have a winger left. This can't be. Did I miss something? Did no one grab Svechnikov yet?
Is Svechnikov in this draft?
Oh, that's his brother.
Oh, I'm thinking. Okay, Andre is the older one, and Yenny's the younger. Okay.
No, take him. Right. Take him.
I'm like losing my mind.
All the way around.
I'm losing my mind over here. I'm like losing my mind over here. Like, there's no way that
that's full tilt.
No, I'll go with Anthony Beauvillier.
That's a good pick. I like Anthony Beauvillier.
I've seen him score enough goals against the Rangers to know he's a good player.
He is. He is a good player. There's a lot of – that's the thing. This draft is deep in centers here. It is my – Anthony, can you remind us who your team is?
I have – I've been keeping track. I have Jack Eichel at center. My wingers are Anthony Beauvillier and Mikko Rantanen. Backing me up, I have Jake Rensky and Vince Dunn and Aiden Hill between the pipes.
And I have the final pick in the draft, and it is for my goaltender. And I'm going with a little veteran experience, not so much veteran experience, but I'm going with the only goalie in this draft who has this many games played. I'm going with Mackenzie Blackwood. Okay?
Yeah, I saw Blackwood in pass because I've seen enough of Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah, I did. It's not a great pick.
He plays like a Hall of Famer one night, and then another night he plays like it's his first night in goal.
But hey, neither of your goalies have ever shown that they can play like a Hall of Famer yet. So, how about that?
No, but your goalie proved he can't.
Yeah, but my goalie's got Henrik Lundqvist as his mentor. So have fun.
Also very true. Now, Jeeker, I have to ask you a question here. Have you played against some of these Coast goalies that are on this? Booth, Vlader, and
Vlader played for Atlanta.
Yep.
Maybe Callum Booth. I know the name. He might have played for Florida.
There's a lot of Nog goalies in this thing.
Booth played for Florida.
Actually, you know who I actually did play against? I think I played against Aiden Hill.
Do you notice that there is what, one, two? Hold on, one, two, three, four. There's four goalies from the NHL in this thing. This is unbelievable.
Ryan Bednard.
Yeah, there's a ton of there's four goalies from the NAHL for those listening at home.
He's nasty, dude. He's nasty. That kid's good. I'm dead serious. His name is Ryan Bednard. His cousin was our radio guy in Fayetteville, and his brother was one of my forwards. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Nice. Aiden Hill. I think I played against Aiden Hill. Let me find his thing. Where he's right here. I think he played for Rapid City. He played for Rapid City for five games. And I played against five games. I played against him when I was in Toledo.
Nice. Yeah. So
can we just go through all the guys we missed real quick that are like under the radar? Anthony Cirelli.
Cirelli. Wow. Yep.
That's other ones. Once you throw the centers rule in there, it is tough because you could just load up on all the good centers.
Rupe Hintz,
yeah.
Rasmus Anderson.
Yep.
Eric Chernak. Brandon Carlo, very good defenseman.
Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah, Carlo Travis on my Dermott. List. Jake DeBrusk, yeah. Yep. Colin White.
You know, like I said, once I drafted Mitch Marner, I realized that I messed up and I should have taken Thomas Chabot. Adam Gaudette's in this draft, by the way. I'm a big Adam Gaudette fan.
Yeah.
The kid for – what's the kid's – what the hell's his name? I just saw him too. Connor Garland.
Yeah. Little guy.
And then that guy from Edmonton – or that kid from Edmonton, Ethan Bear. He's a very good player too.
When did you leave BC? When were you done at BC?
My last year was 15-16.
So did you play against Gaudette?
Yep.
Yeah? Because that was his freshman year.
I don't like him.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know personally, but he scored like the sixth goal to beat us 6-2 in the Hockey East Championship, and like it was a turnover and like it was a breakaway, and he comes by our bench and starts going like this, and like, dude, you're a loser. You're upset.
Some good young kids in this draft too. I like Troy Taylor. He is the guy who had like the big shootout winner in the USA, big shootout winner for USA in the World Juniors a few years back. I watched that at B-Dubs with the boys, and I was like, so hyped. And then, I mean, Matthew Joseph's on here. Sammy Niku is in here for the Winnipeg prospect. Sammy Niku.
Oh, yeah.
The kid that just got traded to Florida is in there, too. He played for Columbus. Nudavara.
Brian Gropp's in there.
Oh, Nudavara's in this. I didn't know that.
Unbelievable. There is some good. My boy, the kid. I should have taken him. Damn it. Mike Robinson's in this draft. I played in the East Coast, in the EHL with Mike Robinson, by the way, just letting everybody know.
Boys, baby's crying.
That's it.
We said we had to say. He's calling it. He's calling the episode.
He's calling the episode.
We got to get on out of here, boys.
Little Nico's calling for the show here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. Jeeger, do you have any last words?
No.
Anthony, last words.
we will be back sooner rather than later, boys. We got the season, the new season. I don't know if it's going to be shortened or whatever. It's coming up. We're going to be back with episodes again, trying to pump some out. Hopefully we get some more relevant hockey news in the near future that we can all discuss and mull over, because we all know it's much more exciting to record when there's actual hockey to talk about.
Yeah. I actually do have one last word. Shout out to Blake Bolden. She's on the cover of the USA Hockey magazine. Great, great lady. Ambassador for diversity and for women's hockey. I've known Blake Bolden for a long, long time. Played at BC, played at my prep school. So shout out to Blake Bolden.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of cool things for women's hockey and diversity in NHL. So shout out Blake Bolden.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Shout out Blake Bolden. On that note, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Powerplay Podcast. For Jeeker, for Anthony the Backup, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you. Have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
All right.